The PDS Professional Podcast Series is brought to you by the Princeton Day School Alumni Board. The objective is to share the professional experience of a wide variety of PDS alumni through a series of podcast interviews. The interviews are one-on-one led by a member of the Professional Development Committee and cover a variety of topics including day-in-the-life descriptions, career path tips, work-life balance, and networking.
Hello, my name is Newell Thompson, class of 1982 from Princeton Day School. I'm here with Peter Bordes in his headquarters in Manhattan at OneCube. Peter is the founder and president, and we're here today to talk a little bit about your path and how you started and, you know, where you see your business headed and really what drives you. So to start out, I'd love to get a little kind of post-Princeton Day School trail of how you got started.
Well, that's a great question for me to even have to think about it. But it's, I think that my journey started with my father being an entrepreneur in the media business. And I guess I don't know whether you're kind of born with it, but I'd always kind of had the entrepreneurial bug. And whether it was in the summers, you know, running my own fishing businesses to, you know, various other ventures. I think my path as an entrepreneur really started in college. Where I was studying to essentially, you know, business and media because I wanted to go work for my father. But when I had done an internship for a semester, it radically changed the way that I was looking at my education in the world of business. After doing my internship, which I ended up doing with my father's company in radio and cable, it made me reevaluate who I was and what I wanted to do and why I was learning, because I learned more in that one semester than I had learned in all of my years of school. And I went to my father and basically said, you know, I think instead of going on the typical path to, you know, finishing school and grad school, I want to go straight out into the working world, which of course made his head kind of explode. And why?
What was that? What was that first experience?
So I ended up working in Philadelphia for in one of his radio station clusters, and I just got immersed in so much of the actual ways that business work versus the way that we learn about what business should be in school. And it was such a radical departure from the, you know, what we study and why we study, that I think is very in line with what Thiel and some of the other groups are doing now, you know, and having, you know, funding kids to leave school and start their entrepreneurial ventures versus finishing school. And I just didn't really understand why I was in school anymore, because two-thirds of everything that I'd learned basically got flushed down the toilet. And that really kind of opened my whole mind to, you know, the world that was out there. And subsequent to that, I did go work at my family's company, and you know, working my way up and wanting to be in the world of media. And the real inflection point came because then the internet came along, and that was the end of that, because it opened my eyes to a whole new kind of what I think of as the infinite realm of possibility to be able to create and build businesses like we've never been able to do before. And that really started my whole trajectory into digital media and what I thought was a true digital media company. And I subsequently left, founded multiple companies. I started with an investment bank called Mason Cabot that we did for 10 years, early stage funding and financing for digital media companies, which led me back into the operating side of the business. And after the implosion, where I was buying up with a friend of mine out of Cablevision, buying up companies that had survived, packaging them up and spinning them out, we actually started becoming an incubator before anyone even knew what an incubator was, which then led me into a company in the performance marketing space that I ran for almost 10 years and took it from zero to in 09, we were the ninth fastest growing company into the United States, along with kind of what I'm working on today. And I think once you end up getting bitten by that entrepreneurial bug, it's a little tough to go back, especially in today's world. I think especially, God, I wish I'd known what I known today and could be graduating out of Princeton PDS today, because it would be a radically different trajectory path that I would have taken, because I feel like the young, beautiful minds coming out of the education system now have such an incredible opportunity to be creative and do things that we didn't really have access to when we were graduating school.
Yeah. What are like the one or two big lessons that you would tell people to not avoid, but be cautious of, or what are the things that you'd like to share with your younger self?
Oh boy, one or two, there are hundreds of them. I think the most importantly, the thing for me to learn was to learn that thinking out of the box and saying I don't understand why, and there has to be a better way, versus the way that education and society programs us into our path. I mean, I remember our freshman year or sophomore year in PDS, and we were at this big assembly, and they're like, you're going to take the SATs and it's going to determine the rest of your life. And, it made me think about this whole path that we were kind of set on. We were going to go here and then grad school and work in an investment bank and then go get married and then move to Greenwich and have 2.2 kids and 3.2 BMWs. And what changed my path in being able to step outside of that was the ability to ask the question why, and to ask a lot of questions outside of the box that I never really had that inflection or reflection point in myself to step outside and ask those things. And that was probably the most single critical moment in my path as an entrepreneur that changed everything for me, versus going into the corporate culture and grad school and the typical kind of career trajectory that we, a lot of us took after we graduated.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and all that experience that you have and what you're building now.
That's such a great question, because it's something I think about quite a bit lately. And if I would sum it up, I would say what I'm doing now is representative of all the lessons that I've learned in the many years that I've had that have come together into this one. I think it was my greatest entrepreneurial experience, in that we have developed a very innovative software platform that enables companies from startups all the way up to Fortune 500 companies to develop audiences across many different channels. A channel is social media, a channel is content. And we've built an AI layer into the platform now, which we're very, very excited about, that is basically going to democratize the ability from anyone, from a startup to a Fortune 500, to be able to build, manage, and harness incredibly powerful audiences. But you think about the irony in that, from my background in traditional media, it's so counterculture to that, because typically where I came out of in cable and radio and newspaper, those, or like you did out of the publishing, right? You controlled the whole audience. You were the gateway to the audience. And if you think about what's going on in those industries right now, which we always have an ongoing dialogue about, they're getting turned inside and out, upside down and backwards. And in some cases, some will make it and some probably won't. I've taken all those life lessons and learnings and applied them into being able to develop a software program that basically enables anyone to become their own media company. And it's such a radical departure from what we think of as our typical notions of media, what media and marketing in, because what we really believe is we're in this major inflection point, leaving the world legacy world of mass media and marketing that we grew up into this world of me media and marketing, where you have a consumer that's not at the bottom of a funnel but at the top of a pyramid, who's highly, highly empowered. And that, you know, we need systems that are able to drive relevance ultimately, you know, in all harnessing all this big data that we have to build very meaningful relationships with your audience based on who they are and what they're interested in, versus us telling them more of who they are and what they're interested in.
So we see this now, right, with my daughter who's in seventh grade at PDS. This huge tsunami of YouTubers and social media influencers. I mean, the democratization of creativity seems to be what culture is today, and I think that's a good thing. How do you harness that movement with OneQ?
Boy, I mean, it's both a great thing in the democratization of everything that we're around us, but at the same time, I think it can be also overwhelming because there's so many choices now in the ability to create. And I think anyone who's graduating school now is walking into this insanely interestingly new world that I didn't have access to, because the amount of capital to create is so low, and the barriers to entry. I really think we live in this insanely cool time where it's like the ability to, the infinite realm of possibility to be able to create anything exists. So how we fit into that is we're able to have applications that can help someone understand this infinite amount of stuff that's flying around us right now in digital, and be able to harness it based on what their objectives are and turn it into an asset. And that's probably one of the critical things, because there's so much big data. And people talk to big data, but ultimately, how do we use big data? Whether I'm launching a new app, or a website, or I'm a larger publisher, or radio station, or a brand, you know, there's so many analytics for big data, but the problem is, like, what do we do with that big data, and how do we take action on our big data? And that's part of where we're applying artificial intelligence in a really interesting way, in that we as humans aren't able to process this amount of information rapidly enough to make decisions on it, especially as our world is going more and more in real time, as we were talking about before. You know, as the internet and things and everything happens and everything is moving in real time and connected on a real time backbone, it becomes incredibly inefficient being operated, you know, in the way that we would typically manually do it. And this is where AI comes into play, because AI can make split-second decisions across vast, vast quantities of data, and basically enable us, and from any company of any size across any vertical, to be able to make split-second decisions. And having the artificial intelligence present information in a way that's highly actionable, and that we only basically sit there as the operators and move the levers while it does all the decision making. So imagine a dashboard where you log in and, you know, touch these 10 people, push these pieces of content out, and then that's it, and you're done for the day, versus typically what we struggle with in organizations. And I think you struggled with it, you know, when you're, ventures in the big corporate world, and I have as well. You know, inconsistencies with teams and abilities to execute, especially across the many, many different silos of opportunities that we have, or the ways that companies are structured, because typically you don't have your content team talking to your social team, talking to your SEO team, talking to the marketing team, talking to the product team. And what we hope to do is change all that on this modular platform that has AI that helps you by making all the decisions essentially for you, and presenting them in a way that are highly actionable.
So if I'm graduating,
somewhat, yeah.
So, I mean, the one question, if I'm graduating from Princeton Day School or from university with AI and everything that you just described, what business should I focus on as a graduate? How does my mind matter if everything is algorithmic?
So, you know, I think it's from, if I were re-graduating today and revamping everything that I was looking at and studying, I would be very, very focused on the understanding of data. Because data is going to drive every single business, no matter what business it is, it's going to be connected in some form or another through big data. And in that data, there's a tremendous amount of truth and knowledge that can help entrepreneurs not only decide what it is that they want to do, but how they're going to do it. And why I say that is because what we have found from how we build companies today, even how we build our company, and the premise behind our platform is that you no longer have to guess anymore. And essentially in the data that the audience data that's around us right now, if we're able to harness that data in interesting ways, that we know that the audience is telling us everything that we need to know. And why that's relevant in today's world, graduating and going into the working world, either as working in a company or as an entrepreneur, is that if you can learn and understand that data and how to harness it, it can be one of the most, you know, bar none, one of the most powerful mechanisms that you can use to create something from nothing or to be operating a division of a company and be able to accelerate that division or start to work within a company and be able to change the entire culture of that company into being, you know, from a larger company to, or division of a company into being very agile and being able to operate in today's working environment, which, you know, we see, you know, some very, very interesting shifts that are happening today. So, you know, I would say, you know, learn and understand the art and the language of data is one of the most critical things that anyone graduating from any school, the idea of studying, you know, whatever it is that they want to study and applying it to whatever businesses or things that they're thinking about, because it's literally, it's going to be the backbone of the entire, you know, sociological ecosystem over the next 10 years.
I'm going to stop you there. Thank you very much. And looking forward to continuing the conversation in the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the PDS Professional Podcast Series. For more information on how to get involved with this project or with the Alumni Board in general, visit www.pds.org/alumni.